August blends up and quorum
Methodist queen works only case.
Let's cut the bull.
Thanks for tuning in to Rebellion Radio, the Hunger Games podcast.
Hello and welcome everybody to Rebellion Radio episode number 14. I'm Hurley Commons.
And I'm Alex Bulova.
And as you can see, Alex Bulova, ladies and gentlemen, is back.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. It's been a long time since I've been on this podcast, hasn't it?
It's been a month.
Well, I've had good excuses, but be a bit too boring for you guys. Let's get started.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We got a great show today, news, mailbag, and chapter chat. So, April and Elena could not make it, but that's okay. We haven't had an all-male show since our first episode. Has it really been that long?
Yeah, it's been
too long.
Yeah.
All right, so before we jump in, we have one announcement. If you have not already, please write us a review on our iTunes. Thanks so much. Every review really helps us. And actually, after last episode, we have literally gotten, 12 reviews in the past, 2 weeks. It's been amazing. So, thanks so much for your support. Every review moves us up on the iTunes charts, so that really helps us, and we appreciate it. So, let's jump straight into the news this week. Alex, what's the first news item?
All right, the first news of the day is that pre-sale movie tickets for the Hunger Games movie go on sale on February 22nd. So, looks like I know what I'm getting for my birthday.
For your birthday, you're getting a Hunger Games movie ticket?
Yeah, I can wait a month.
Okay, well, I'm buying it for myself. Will you be buying it this early? Do you think it'll go out, do you think it'll be, sold out anywhere near?
You know, yeah, I'd say this will be some pretty packed theaters.
Yeah, I mean, definitely gonna
Dark Knight Rises movie tickets were pre-released a few weeks ago, and the movie's coming out even later than The Hunger Games.
And some theaters already sold out for that, didn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, so okay, I'm definitely gonna get some of these tickets, because you never know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The tragic moment when you're wanting to see The Hunger Games movie at midnight and it's already been sold out.
That would be horrible. That would be so bad. But yeah, February 2nd, everyone keep that in mind, pre-order your tickets. And the next news item isn't really a news item, but it's kind of cool. So a few months ago, Lionsgate sent five people from around the world to the Hunger Games set. And it was like a sweepstakes thing, and five people won. And just this past week, they've published their set reports. And they didn't reveal much, but everyone was like, oh my gosh, it was amazing. We all the actors were so nice and the sets were amazing. So yeah, that's cool that fans approve of it. And we've been getting some pretty good feedback. So
yeah, I'm a bit jealous.
Yeah. I'm really jealous.
I mean, come
actually.
On, we're on the podcast. We should be the ones doing this.
We should be the ones reporting on the set. Mostly, I would just want to meet Jennifer Lawrence, but you know.
We know, Hurley.
All right, so Alex, what's the next news item?
So, news about the movie tie-in book and Suzanne's involvement has been released. And so, Scholastic said, the authors worked closely with Suzanne Collins. All the content in the world of the Hunger Games and the other official tie-ins has been approved by Suzanne Collins, who also has contributed some additional material of her own via interviews.
Yeah, so for the movie tie-in books that popped up on Amazon this past couple of weeks, Suzanne Collins has not been listed as an author, but in the latest press release, she's been a consultant, I guess, is what we kind of guessed on the last episode, and all the information has been approved by her. And so what do you think about this? I mean, people were saying they're not going to buy it because she's not listed as an author, but do you think this approval and information from interviews, do you think that qualifies?
I
like
I think this definitely qualifies. I mean, I think I will probably buy this once again because it's around my birthday. And also, I mean, with the Harry Potter movies, which fans and moviegoers alike love, you know, J.K. Rowling, she wasn't the one writing the scripts, but she did oversee it, and she did make sure it was true to the books, and they were. And so Suzanne Collins is basically doing the same thing. I have total faith.
See, this is where I kind of disagree. I don't really want to, like, spend money on, like... Yeah, I guess, like, she could approve it, but if it's not coming straight from her, I don't really see the point. I don't see what... I mean, if there's, like... If they advertise it as, like, there's going to be all this new information, like, I'll maybe, like, flip through it to see, but it seems to me like these are just going to be information that we already know with a few little tidbits here and there. I don't think it's worth it.
Well, there's only one way to find out. That's... We're going to have to read it.
Exactly, yeah. So those will come out later in a couple months, so we'll see then. So the next news announcement is one that I was personally excited for, and the fantastic track for the Hunger Games trailer has been released on iTunes and is available for 99 cents only, people. 99 cents. So that trailer music, that was awesome. First of all, we now know it was not done by Burnett, Elfman, of course not Elfman, or anybody. It was done by a music duo called Through the Looking Glass, or TTL. So props to them for an amazing song. I forget what it's called, but I definitely bought it. I recommend people to buy it. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's a great movie soundtrack. Or at least
trailer soundtrack. Yeah, trailer soundtrack. It's a good song. So Alex, what's the next tidbit?
Yeah, well, a little interesting tidbit. Jennifer Lawrence will be announcing the Academy Award nominations. So, Hurley, you'll definitely be tuning in for that.
Okay, yeah, well, it's at 5:30 a.m. PST, Pacific time, so that's not going to stop me. I'm still going to wake up and see Jennifer Lawrence announce these.
Yep, and I will be in school, so you'll have to text me in the middle of class and get me in trouble, but it doesn't matter, because I want to know.
Yes, you do. Because, yeah, I definitely want to see, I mean, first of all, it's the Academy Award nomination, so that's already exciting enough. But Jennifer Lawrence being there, you know, how could I not?
Yep.
So the Hunger Games trio, as they are now being called by the media, were present at the People's Choice Awards last Wednesday. Yeah, last Wednesday. And no new footage was released, as people were hoping for, but there were new clips and interviews of them talking to the press, and... It was good. Josh Hutcherson talked to some people about the movie, and we got some information about, like, the soundtrack, how it sounded, and nothing new, but it was definitely some publicity for The Hunger Games. Alex, what's the next news story?
So there was a very interesting interview with Woody Harrelson, a.k.a. Haymitch, about his portrayal of Haymitch. So Harrelson says, he's got a drinking problem, he's got some issues, and he's damaged, but I didn't want to do it totally like your typical version of an alcoholic in a movie. So I tried to keep him a little put together. I dressed him up from what you would expect, too. That's one of the things I wanted, to make him, particularly in the capital, a bit of a snazzy dresser, or at least a dresser with his own style.
Okay, so very, very interesting. So when we got our first image of Haymitch, either people loved it or people hated it, because... He looked put together. You remember that? Everyone was like, he doesn't look drunk enough. So, first of all, he's already touched on this point in previous interviews about him not trying to be the typical alcoholic. You know, not like the typical, just barfing around everywhere and, like, comic relief.
Right.
So I totally get that. But this was interesting because he talked about him, you know, being a little more put together, being a snazzy dresser. What do you think about that?
I honestly don't know what to think. I mean, I guess it makes sense if he sees the Capitol often. I mean, my main issue with this is that for fans of the books, I mean, we'll understand that he's an alcoholic. But with what he's saying here, you know, sometimes just the average film goer isn't that smart. And maybe they just won't interpret him as being drunk. I don't know. Maybe it might be a bit too subtle for the average movie going audience.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I definitely see that, because if he's snazzy dresser, not being like the typical alcoholic, I feel like they would have to point it out, like, you're drunk all the time. Like, he'll be drinking alcohol, but it's not going to be like, yeah, I can see that. You know, people won't know for sure. But him being a snazzy dresser, I think that kind of makes sense. You know, he's in the Capitol the whole time, and
yeah,
even if he wasn't a snazzy dresser, he would be forced to wear snazzy clothes. So I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
So the final news story of the day is a little more music news. The Secret Sisters are set to be on the Hunger Games companion album. So this album is going to be a compilation of songs by various artists and their music inspired by the Hunger Games. Yeah, Secret Sisters, I actually have never heard of them.
Neither have I.
But, yeah, so hopefully they'll be good. So Alex, since you were not on the last episode, why don't you share your thoughts on Taylor Swift's Safe and Sound?
Well, I don't think you listeners know, but usually I really despise country music.
Ooh.
I mean, I know I'm going to get a lot of hate for this, but it's not my genre of music. However, I do appreciate good storytelling, and you know what? I really like this song. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Taylor Swift. I've never heard of Civil Wars. Maybe if I didn't know this was going along with the Hunger Games, I wouldn't like it so much. But knowing this is probably Candace and Rue's song, it's great. I mean, it has all the right emotions. The lyrics are beautiful. It sounds great. I mean, it's not what I should like, but I actually like it. I'm actually really surprised.
Very nice.
And I've heard also that, along with Taylor Swift and Civil Wars, more bands that will be joining, you know, the soundtrack album will be Arcade Fire and the Decemberists.
Right.
Two bands I actually also like. So, yeah.
Oh, so you have heard of the Decemberists.
Yes, in fact, I actually have one of their albums.
Very good, because last episode.
Yeah. Well, the Decemberists are actually known for telling stories in their songs.
Are they?
And they actually do a very good job at that, albeit the songs being a bit messed up in some aspects, a few of them. Just very weird, very, very weird, you know, stories they're telling.
Mm.
I mean, they've done like songs on Irish mythology.
Really? I only have one of their songs. It's Summer Song.
No, that's one I actually haven't listened to, but...
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, companion album is shaping up to be a good deal.
Yeah, definitely.
So, now let's move straight on to the mailbag, where we read your very own listener mails. Remember, you can send us anything at comments@rebellionradiopodcast.com. So, our first email is from Dakota, and she says, I love Hurley's idea about PETA's coin warning being foreshadowing about coin. J.K. Rowling does a ton of symbolism like that in her books. Maybe Collins does the same thing too, and we just have not noticed it. I have an idea to make her sign off less awkward. What is that one slogan the rebels made for Katniss to say in the Propos? People of Panem? That's how it begins. I forget the rest. But I believe that would work for Hurley to say at the end of the podcast. So, I put this in here. Thank you, Dakota, for sending that in. Because last episode, I'm not sure if you listened to it, Alex, but PETA said something about, like, don't gamble, you lose your last coin. And I thought that might be a reference to Eowyn coin. And I thought that sounded very strange. And we got some emails saying that was complete bullcrap and that's not symbolism. But Dakota emailed in and said it was true. So thank you for that. People were saying there were coins back. I was arguing that the coin comment seemed out of place because they didn't have coins then. I thought that they only traded. I didn't think that they used coins.
Well, maybe only in District 12 they trade. I mean, I can't really imagine the people in District 1 going, hey, I'll give you my MP3 player for that TV or whatever. I mean, right. I'm pretty sure they still have currency. I think coins may have lasted a war better than paper products.
I think in other districts, probably coins were existent, but for me, I always thought District 12 was a lot more rural. And they probably didn't have much coins, so that coin remark, I was like, that's weird. But anyway, we may never know. Unless, of course, we interview Suzanne Collins, which we undoubtedly will.
Wink, wink. Hint, hint.
Suzanne, if you're listening, please email in and tell us if that was foreshadowing. Alex, what is the next email from Sally?
So Sally says, "Hey guys, I listened to the Taylor Swift song and thought that it fits some scenes of the movie, but I'm glad it's not going to be in the actual movie. For the coin discussion, I have to disagree with Hurley, because the public has to be paid with something, and coins have been used longer. Even though Katniss was extremely oblivious towards the real feelings of PETA, I thought PETA was extremely oblivious in understanding the real Katniss. Wouldn't he have been slightly suspicious that Katniss seemed to love him all of a sudden in the games? Also, PETA didn't seem to understand any of Katniss's strategies throughout the series. Again, sorry for the super ultra long email. Love your podcast."
All right, so thank you for that, Sally. she did not agree with my coin thing, but that was okay. But I thought this email was interesting because we always talk about Katniss being oblivious to PETA's real feelings, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But she said that PETA was also oblivious to understanding the real Katniss. And, you know, I've actually never given that much thought because mm-hmm. it's always easy to be like, "Katniss, you jerk." But PETA,
right.
Yeah, I mean, if I was PETA, like, I mean, he was in love with Katniss, obviously, but, like, he, should have, I'm not sure if he should have realized, but he could have realized that Katniss couldn't have fallen in love with him so easily and, like, you know?
Right.
Like,
well,
he should have seen how, like, too perfect it was.
Right. Well, I do agree that PETA should have seen, but at the same time, Hurley, we're both guys, right?
I hope so, yes.
And, yes. I will just say, yes, we are.
Yes.
And if the girl that we've had a crush on for as long as we can remember suddenly started loving us, I'm pretty sure I'd just go with it.
Right. See, yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm not sure if I... 2020, but at the same time, and you're such a surreal situation as The Hunger Games, if
right,
your crush
yeah.
says that she loves you, okay, yeah, let's go with it.
Yeah, okay, exactly. See, I don't blame him, but I do see her point, you know?
Yeah, definitely see the point, but...
Yeah, definitely. So, so the next email is from PETA's admirer, and he or she said, "Hi guys, let me just say that Rebellion Radio is awesome. You guys are the best Hunger Games podcast I've come across since I started the series because you guys actually know the details of the book and special movie events. The only thing that I have to say is I disagree with you guys about Gale and Liam Hemsworth. Liam has yet to surprise me with his acting skills, seeing that the last song sucked, but I think he can step up to the plate seeing that this movie is so important to millions of people. And he's cute. Plus, I think the only reason why Gale becomes such an a-hole in books 2 and 3 is because ever since PETA announced his love for Katniss, Gale is scared of losing his one best friend. Anywho, I wanted to know how do you think Lionsgate will separate Mockingjay into two movies? I think they should separate them with one part being Katniss' recovery from PETA being taken prisoner and her inability to cope with District 13. That way, part 2 can be all about the war. But how do you think part 1 will end? I thought about them ending with Katniss and Johanna in the hospital, right after Johanna tells Katniss to swear on her family's life that she will kill Snow. What do you think? Thanks for reading my long message. Keep up the great work." So, thank you, PETA's admirer. So, Gale, Liam Hemsworth. We've actually been getting a couple emails about us hating on the, hating on them. Mm-hmm. I think we need to take a step back and reevaluate our thoughts on Gale/Liam. So first of all, let's just talk about Liam Hemsworth. Has your opinion of him changed since the hate we've given him?
Well, I am still yet to see the last song, and that will not change. However,
okay.
Seeing the trailer for The Hunger Games, I do see him as convincing Gale. I mean, with the I'm sorry, not the trailer, but the teaser trailer. With the monologue that he gives, you know, with Katniss running through the woods and all that stuff, it sounds mm-hmm. legitimate. I mean, it's good acting. I mean,
yeah.
He sounds like he's really talking to Katniss as she's about to go into the Hunger Games.
Yeah, So, okay, I think I pretty much agree with you. I just want to say I apologize for calling him looking like an ape in the trailer analysis. That was uncalled for, maybe, but I think I have a little more faith in him seeing more pictures, more videos. I'm not completely, like, in love with him, you know. I think he's alright. As for Gale, as the character, I think we can discuss that during chapter chat. But the Peter Zinmeyer in the email also talks about the part 3 and 4 of the movies, you know, splitting Mockingjay. Where do you think we should split this? Or they should split this?
Well, this is difficult because, I mean, really, all the movies up to this point will have been basically, you know, survival action movies. I mean, The Hunger Games, you have The Hunger Games. With right. Catching Fire, the first part is just her returning back to normal. I use that term loosely, life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the second half is The Hunger Games, which you still get your survival action. However, if you're going to be splitting Mockingjay into two parts, I mean, the first, like, two-thirds of the book are really her dealing with District 13, and then the last bit is her actually in war. And so I feel like if you're to split it the obvious way, it would just kind of piss fans off, or moviegoers off, because you're not giving them the action. It's just all boring dialogue.
Yeah, I agree with that, because exactly, I like how you said, the first book is The Hunger Games. The second book is The Hunger Games again, pretty much, right? And then the third book, it's so polarized. I mean, like, the or at least the order of events, like, first it's all this emotional stuff, and then it's some action. But it's not even the same like type of action as the first and second. So, but, like, how else would they do it, though? Like, how would they balance out the action and emotion? Because it's so, like, this split on the other ends of the book.
I feel like they would actually have to add in action scenes, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can definitely see it as in, like, it could end with, like, promising to kill Coin's life, or maybe, I don't know, PETA returning to Katniss and him trying to kill her.
Yeah,
I can definitely see it ending on that
cliffhanger. I've seen that on online.
Right.
Somebody said it, yeah.
But the only issue with that is, yeah, there's not a lot of action. I think they would have to add Katniss going into battle, like, 5 times or something in order to compensate.
Yeah, which hopefully they do. See, that's another thing. I don't think they should have split the Mockingjay at all.
Right. No, if they're going to split a book, I mean, none actually really come to mind. I mean,
yeah, no, they should not split any of the books. But now that they are, I do think Peter Zinmeyer made a good point about promising to kill Snow. I also think, like you said, what was it, when PETA comes back and, like, is about to strangle Katniss?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good cliffhanger.
Yeah, as long as they release the movie, like, 6 months later and don't make us wait 4 years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they should probably shoot it together.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we'll hopefully get more information about that. Is there any chance, like, they will, like, be like, all right, never mind, we're not going to split it? Because they announced that so early on, it's like...
Well, I think the only way that they would announce that is if box office doesn't do as well for The Hunger Games as they thought. I mean, no doubt, it'll make a bajillion dollars.
Right.
I mean, there's enough of us, you know, crazy fans out there in the world that will keep seeing it over and over in theaters.
Right, right. So, I guess it's set in stone, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, maybe Suzanne Collins could put in a word like, hey guys, this ain't going to work.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. As the date gets closer. So, thanks for all your emails, everybody. Again, comments at rebellionradiopodcast.com. So now let's move straight into our chapter chat segment where we analyze, pull apart, and dig into the chapters of the Hunger Games book. Spoiler alert, as always, we'll discuss everything and anything. Today we have chapters 21 and 22, so let's jump right in with chapter 21. Just as a reminder, in the previous chapter, Katniss has put PETA to sleep with sleeping syrup, so that she can go to the feast in the cornucopia and get the backpack with the blood poisoning medicine. So she tries to camouflage the opening of the cave and thinks about strategy. Her ability to kill from afar will help, but she'll still have to jump into the fray to get the actual backpack. So Katniss settles down to sleep, though it's freezing. She thinks of her family, who will watch the feast back home tomorrow. School will probably be cancelled, everyone will be cheering and watching. Gale, too. So Katniss is starting to get thoughts of Gale again. And Katniss also wonders what Gale must think of the romance plot. So, do you think that Gale knows it's a plot?
I don't know. I mean, never really get to see anything that's happening back home.
I mean he must be...
Something I'm interested in with the movie is how much of back home they'll actually be showing.
Well, in the trailer, we saw that in the countdown, they kept showing shots of home, you know? So I think they show probably a good portion of it.
Right. I mean, I guess later in the books, I mean, Gail obviously, I guess, likes Katniss.
Yes,
so he's probably getting a bit jealous whether or not he actually believes it's true or not. Up for debate, but...
I think it probably does believe it's true, just because what else is he supposed to think?
Yeah.
You know? So, Katniss wonders about that. After 3 hours before dawn, Katniss begins to prepare to leave to the feast. Remembering to keep her the star-crossed lover's plot, she gives Peeta a big old kiss before she leaves. Katniss heads to her old hiding place near the cornucopia to see who shows up. As the sun rises, a round table rises out of the ground with the backpacks. It's showtime. Suddenly, someone darts out of the cornucopia itself, grabs a backpack, and speeds off. It's Foxface. Katniss kicks herself for not thinking of hiding inside the cornucopia. So, Foxface actually hid inside the cornucopia, which nobody thought of. I just thought that was incredibly clever.
Yeah, definitely.
So now we're going to get into the big action scene. Katniss sprints for the cornucopia and a knife whizzes by her, which she deflects. She turns and sends an arrow straight into the tribute who threw it, Clove, injuring her in the arm. So grabbing the backpack, Katniss gets sliced by another knife right in the forehead. Blinded by the blood, Clove knocks her to the ground. So at this point, blood is flowing in her eye, and when I was reading this, my heart was pounding, and I was like, holy crap. So Clove knocks Katniss to the ground, and Katniss says Peeta is hunting Kato. So she's bluffing, saying Peeta's out, I'm gonna get Kato, and then yells Peeta's name. So Clove silences her and calls her a liar. So Clove calls her bluff, and she says that he'll kill her just like they killed Rue. So Clove gets her knife out and is about to slice off Katniss's mouth, and she's like surveying her face and is like, where can I start first? I'm gonna get your lips because you won't be able to kiss Peeta.
Let's put a smile on that face.
Exactly. See, this is why I said Clove would beat Foxface in that previous episodes in the arena. It's because she's so demented and like she's about to cut off her lips. You know, that's like serial killer type mentality. You know?
Yeah, but I'm still going to hold with my argument.
Speaking of that, we'll find the results soon enough. But so all of a sudden, Thresh appears and attacks Clove. So saving Katniss, and he apparently heard her mention killing Rue, and he's back for revenge. He bludgeons Clove in the skull with a rock.
Oh.
Do you know how much that would hurt?
That I think that's the most brutal part of the book.
It's one of the most, definitely up there.
Oh.
I'd say this, bludgeoning in the head, the glimmer and the tracker jacker scene, and probably Kato being, you know, bitten off by the mutation. So, Thresh returns to Katniss with the rock and is about to smash her skull in when Katniss tells Thresh that she was Rue's ally and that she killed Rue's attacker. So, Thresh, you know, wavers and this is probably going to be a really emotional scene, and Thresh lets her go, saying that the two are now even. And, I've been referencing this part, for a couple episodes now, but this is just like debt, you know? I'm paying back a debt to you. Like, the districts are paying back a debt to the capital. Like, it's all connected. Everyone's paying back, like, PETA's paying back debts back to Katniss, Katniss paying back one to PETA. It's all, like, you know, that theme is always there in the books. So, I thought that was very, very interesting that Thresh Astley, like, lets her go.
Yeah.
Because she was Rue's ally.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know it's a big discussion point about whether, like, how Thresh and Rue sort of fit in with each other. I mean, I know they're from the same district, but that doesn't necessarily mean they have to be allies. I mean, do you think there's something outside the Hunger Games that they're connected?
See, I do think they have sort of a brother-sister type relationship, or even, like, a father-daughter dynamic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because he definitely cares for her a lot. And I think also like what contributes to it is like Rue, the fact that Rue is so young. You know, Thresh is like, I think that kind of affects him.
Right.
I think it's more brother than sister, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, yeah, that makes most sense.
Yeah. So, with Kato approaching the scene, Katniss takes off for the woods. She makes it back to the cave, taking out the hypodermic needle from the backpack, and gives him a shot. And still bleeding from her head, Katniss blacks out. So, Alex, take away chapter 22.
Alright. So, in chapter 22, Katniss wakes up, weak and dizzy, to find Peeta nursing her. He feeds her and tells her to rest. He doesn't appear to be mad at her for drugging him. Maybe because she saved his life. So it's raining outside, which Katniss knows is probably aimed at Kato and Thresh. She tells Peeta about everything that has happened at the cornucopia, including Thresh letting her go because he owed her a debt.
There we go. There's that theme.
Yep.
Also, one thing that I forgot to mention was, Thresh took Kato's backpack also. You know, Kato's district's backpack, so right. Clothes also. So
and what I'm curious about the movie is whether or not they'll show the big fight between Thresh and Kato, since it is mentioned.
Exactly, yeah. That's what I wondered, because all we know is that later on, Kato kills Thresh. But we never know why, or we never know how.
Right.
I hope they do, because I've always wondered about that, actually. I've been curious.
Yeah. So, Peeta doesn't seem to understand, but Katniss says it's like the bread he gave her as a child. She tells Peeta she wants to go home. Katniss sleeps more, and when she wakes up, the two eat what's left of the food. They're still famished. I guess this is actually why it's called the Hunger Games.
Because they're hungry. Yay.
What do you know? So realizing that romance is the way to get more food, Katniss decides to play up the lovey-dovey thing some more. She takes his hand and apologizes for drugging him. Peeta warns her not to do it again, even though it saved his life. So the two spar a little, and Katniss feels something. She's not sure what. And before you know it, the two are lip-locked. For
uh-oh.
Real! Katniss tells us that this is the first kiss she had with him that makes her want another. So no more hanky-panky with Katniss, though. The two snuggle down the sleeping bag and get some rest.
So, this kiss is an infamous one because this is the first one that's actually not fake, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, do you think, I mean, I guess what Suzanne's trying to tell us is that she was not loving Peeta before this. But I think this is the one defining moment. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think this would be a good turning point. I mean, mm-hmm. especially since it's mentioned that this is the first time she felt something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess this could be seen as her actually sort of falling in love.
Yeah, or the first, like, I don't know what the word is, like, the first little remnants of it.
Right. So, next day, the rain continues, and Katniss and Peeta grow hungrier. Time for more romance! So Katniss asks Peeta when he got a crush on her. He tells her the first day of school. He also mentions that his own father wanted to marry her mother. Huh?
So Elena, remember she had that super mind-boggling theory?
Mm-hmm.
That was this exact same thing?
Yep.
Yeah. Elena, we're sorry, but that theory was not your own. So I guess this explains why Peeta's dad, like, gave her the cookies and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. That's just a bit weird. I feel like Peeta is almost saying ha-ha to his father. Like, ha, I got the girl.
Oh, is it? Do you think
I don't think it's that only, but that's kind of what I imagine, like, him going home to that.
It's kind of like spiting him. Like, you didn't get the girl, but I did.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, actually.
See, it also explains, I think, somehow why Peeta's mom is such a mean person, because on the rebound, Peeta's dad went back to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a very interesting, like, sort of like a Harry Potter moment
mm-hmm.
with Snape loving Lily.
Yeah.
Except in this case, Snape is not nice to Harry. He's mean.
That's kind of a weird thing to tell your child. I don't know. I mean, with Harry Potter, it's like, I used to love your mother, and you have her eyes. I want to look into them. I don't know, mm-hmm. It definitely feels very similar to that.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Peeta said he knew he was a goner for her when in music class, she stood up and sang the Valley song. Of course, he could never work up the nerve to talk to her. Aww.
Aww, so sweet.
So Katniss is happy, but also super confused. These details sound real. Is PETA actually telling the truth? Is he actually in love with her?
Yes, he is. Open your eyes.
Yeah. I thought guys were supposed to be the ones oblivious to love.
Exactly. I think that's why it kind of shows how Katniss is, like, sort of manly in some ways. I mean, not manly, but, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, well, she didn't grow up as, like, the usual girl.
Exactly. Here's a better word, tomboy. She's more tomboyish.
Definitely.
So not only is she, like, more of a hunter, but she also has some of the emotional characteristics of that we usually associate with a guy.
Yep. So Katniss stares through some more words and then leans to kiss him. That's when she hears a clunk outside, a tureen of lamb stew and rice. Looks like the romance plot worked.
And that ends chapter 22. So this shows that Haymitch wants not physical, forms of affection, but more emotional, more deep.
Yeah.
So, email us. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
You know, this is probably the point where most of the teenage girl audience got interested in this. Like, I know guys are all for, the previous chapters.
This is where the guys are kind of like,
yeah, just like, okay, go on to the violence.
Yeah, and, I mean, I don't mind this. I mean, this love plot.
I mean,
too much.
It's nice. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, what bothers me, though, is how some people are, like, comparing it to Twilight. I mean, obviously, we don't want to compare this to Twilight, and that has been, like, beaten so much. Everyone's like, don't compare it to Twilight. But, like, I don't really see how people are getting that idea, because there isn't really that much romance in the book to start out with.
And that's why...
In the first book, at least.
Yeah, and that's why I wonder how much of this will actually be in the movie.
I mean, they'll probably show all of this in the movie, but, like, I'm just saying, people always, like, compare to Twilight. I'm like, I can kind of see that, the romance thing, but it really does take a back burner.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's really only this chapter, really?
Yeah, I think it more progresses more when they, like, when she meets Gale again, you know?
But in just the Hunger Games.
Right, in the Hunger Games, there's pretty much this scene and, like, the kisses they got, it's pretty much it. I mean, it's not like, I really don't think the first book is a romance.
Right.
I think that there's some elements of that, but I think the romance really kind of gets played up more in the next few books.
Definitely.
Yep. So email us any thoughts at all about the chapters that we just discussed, or better yet, you can email us about chapters 23 and 24 for next episode, and we'll discuss them on the air. So, our next segment is one that we will not be fully divulging in, but we have to announce the winners from last episode, our last time we did this. So, this segment is called In the Arena. It's the segment where we put two Hunger Games characters against each other and argue for who would win in a battle. So, we're not going to fight this week because we don't have as many people as we should, but we just want to announce the winners, get that out of the way. So, the last In the Arena was a fight between Clove, which I fought for, and Foxface, which April and Alex argued for, and the winner is, drum roll please,
mine wasn't is, good enough.
No, it was good, it was just made by hands.
Whatever.
The winner is Clove, or my argument. So basically I'm the best around. I'm kidding. No. It was a very, very, very close. One of our closest In the Arenas. Clove got 49 votes and Foxface got 42. Ugh. So Alex and April, you didn't lose in the complete. You guys did good, Good arguments. But
don't talk to me.
Clove eventually did win with
49. I never lose.
53% to 46%, 91 people voted. So thanks everyone for voting for that. We will not do an In the Arena this week because of the lack of people. Well, just two people is not enough.
I mean, if you want to hear me and Hurley yelling at each other for 5 minutes.
I mean, yeah. No. Nobody wants that, right? So we'll definitely have that next episode. So, yeah. So for our last segment of the day, we have Harrock. And Hrock, or Hunger Games Rock, is the segment where we close out the show each week with a musical selection of one of the host's choice that we think fits well with the Hunger Games universe. This week we enjoy a great song that is my pick, Pumped Up Kicks by Foster the People.
Yeah, and you guys probably haven't heard of it. It's pretty obscure.
Yeah, but not played on the radio at all. But I was actually trying to come up with a song for this, and you can listen to the whole conversation in the bloopers, but Alex said, just do Pumped Up Kicks. And when I actually thought about it, it actually makes sense. You see, I'm going to explain it right now. All right. So it's Katniss talking, and the other kids with the Pumped Up Kicks who are paying more for their kicks are the careers, because they actually train for the games. And they better run from my gun, my arrows, my bow. Yes? Back me up on this, Alex.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm the one who came up with it, so.
Exactly. But it actually makes sense. So, yeah, enjoy Foster the People, Pumped Up Kicks. I never actually expected any mainstream song to make it on this, but...
Watch out for next week. I'll have Party Rock here somehow.
Oh, God, no. I refuse to play that on the show. Anyway, all right. So thanks for listening. Be sure to visit RebellionRadioPodcast.com for everything you need to know about the show. You'll find handy links to our iTunes and Tumblr, and you can stay updated through our Facebook and Twitter. Those are both at /RRPodcast, so follow us and like us on there. And you can also discuss with other listeners in the comments. Contact us for anything at all at comments@RebellionRadioPodcast.com. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I'm Hurley Collins.
And I'm Alex Bulova.
Fight the capital and the hunger. Join the rebellion. This week we enjoy a great song that is my pick. Uh-oh, I have to come up with one of these. What should I do? Should I do a Decemberist song?
I mean, there really isn't a Decemberist song that fits with the Hunger Games. They're all in their own little world, really.
Let's see.
Well, just be fun. Just choose a song you like and just tell the fans to interpret it. Like, I don't know. How about Pumped Up Kicks?
Pumped Up
all
Kicks.
All the other tributes with their weapons and arrows,
Oh, wait a second. Wait a second.
Better than my spear.
No, dude, you actually have a great point. All those other kids with their Pumped Up Kicks, better run, faster than my bullet. That is Katniss talking, and all the other kids with the Pumped Up Kicks, you know, Pumped Up Kicks are, like, more expensive. Those are the careers.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap, that actually makes sense.
Okay, then, okay. Yes.
So,
and, like, in Daddy's Gun, Daddy's Arrows or something.
Oh my gosh, holy crap. Okay, so this week, my pick is Pumped Up Kicks by,
Foster the People,
yeah, okay. So this week, my song is Pumped Up Kicks by Foster the People.
All the other kids with their
pumped up kicks, better run. Actually, I really like that song, so.
Yeah, I know. It's one of the mainstream songs I actually like.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe Party Rock Anthem. It's like.
No, I hate that song.